Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, we talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Now, does this have to be the game where the offensive line for the Cowboys excels? And I don't mean like, hey, we would like to see that. I mean, the Falcons have an ineffective pass rush. They're dead last in the NFL in sacks. They brought down the quarterback just 6 times in 8 games. This feels like it needs to be a good showing for the offensive line, or else my concern level is going to go significantly.
It's going to skyrocket.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Now, no, you mean they've got fewer sacks than the Cowboys?
Yes, they do.
How about that? Because all these other stats I started looking up, the Cowboys were like 30th. 31st, 32nd. I think that, and not only protecting Dak, but just opening up holes that running backs can run through, even undrafted free agents and guys drafted in the 5th and 6th round, right? Just open up holes that they can maybe hang on to the ball a little longer and be able to stay with the run a little longer. To keep their defense off the field a little longer, and that might help, and maybe even help keep them fresh towards the end of the game.
Now, we're all positive on this show, as you know, pretty much all of the time. And Dak Prescott's the first quarterback with multiple interceptions in 3 straight games for the Cowboys since Aikman in 92. So we have all determined.
You mean Aikman did that in 92?
That means we're going
to. And they won a Super Bowl?
That means we're going to win the Super Bowl. That is what we have all taken from that. I'm sure it's a combination of a lot of factors. The offensive line is obviously a big part of that. Do you think confidence at all plays into the Dak Prescott struggles, or is it the struggle the rest of the offense? He's like, I got to try to make something happen.
Well, you can use confidence 2 ways, right?
Sure.
Lack of and too much.
And that's a good point.
At some point, I think at sometimes he thinks, okay, I can do this, and I'm going to fit that ball in there, right?
I thought that about Romo quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, and also you also have to factor in how the game's going. Because if you see you're not doing much and they're doing a lot, well, now I got to take a chance because I can't sit here and keep punting, right? And you would like to think, okay, you know, like McCarthy said, I would like every one of our possessions to end with a kick, meaning an extra point, field goal, or a punt, not a turnover. And sometimes quarterbacks, and I know Tony Romo's told me this, he goes, you know, if it's 3rd and 12 and we're down 2 touchdowns, I'm not checking down. I'm going to try to fit the ball in. Because we're falling behind fast. So I think there's some, from a quarterback standpoint, kind of that attitude, judging how the game's going and what I need to do. And I think, the further you fall behind, the more chances you start taking, which is maybe not a good thing, but that's kind of punting's not doing me any good when the defense is not stopping them. So I don't think it's a lack of confidence. I think maybe at times too much confidence that I can do this, and maybe like the second interception, you know, just throw that ball away because no, you can't do that one. Just a bad decision. Now the first one, when you're getting wiped out and trying to throw deep, then the decision has to be: am I better off just taking the sack, or am I going to, you know, try to complete this pass? And you got to judge down and distance and what down it is, and you know, who am I throwing it to, by the way.
Hey, Kevin, how many interceptions did Troy Aikman have that year at this time?
Ooh, that I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you said he had the same amount or a number.
No, like I just know they had 3 straight games with multiple interceptions. I don't know the total.
In that time, he only had 2 touchdowns. So we'll point that out. So he only.
So you're calling Super Bowl two?
Yeah. he was 23-14 for touchdowns and interceptions that year. So that was an interesting year.
And interceptions have changed over the years, by the
way.
For
sure.
Because if you go back and look at Meredith and Staubach, you'll probably be sitting there with your mouth wide open going, oh, really?
These guys?
Yeah.
What do you think the plan is going to be at running back? Since Dowdle was sick, Will he be back in action? Or
is I would think so. I mean, it was a high fever, so you would hope by now that has calmed down. It might have even calmed down by the start of the game, taking whatever medication they probably gave him. But again, you got to make that decision 90 minutes before for the actives and inactives, and you know they decided that no, because what if we keep him active and he can't go and the next running back gets hurt. Now we're down to one. I think he should be back. So I would assume he's back number one, Zeke's two, and they'll go with the plan that they were going to have last week, and Cook will be three and Deuce Vaughn will be inactive.
I know we've talked about the offensive line, and I want you to know for the record, I don't dispute that whatsoever. My question is for you, if the offensive line can and does get better, creates better holes, turns it around, do you feel like the Cowboys have the backs to take advantage of that?
Yeah, I think so. I always thought Rico Dowdle could do that. But, you know, it just seems like too many times they end up trying to run through a brick wall and not knocking it down. I think that if they do a better job, creating holes in the running game, and also I don't know that, I don't know if it's the timing of runs or design of runs or how they're trying to do it, but to me, just watching, I just don't see a lot of space to run through. And for sure, they're not really getting to the second level in the run game. And I was always thought that was one thing that they could be proficient at, especially with Tyler Smith and the way BB played in college. He was really good at getting to the second level. Now, he didn't have take the responsibility of snapping the ball.
Right.
I don't know how that affects things, but I thought those guys and Zach Martin were really good at that. And, run blocking was one of the things that Terrence Steele was good at. I always thought he was, average to good at pass blocking, but I thought that was not one of his best traits. His run blocking was good. So if they can just get back to that, and we were talking about it on our podcast yesterday, and Nate and Bill were criticizing them for starting the second half with run or pass, and they got away from the run, and they really did.
Yep.
But again, do you get away from it because you're worried you're not getting there, or that you're falling behind? But I guess if you pass, and it's incomplete, you take the chance of falling further behind, especially when you throw an interception on the next possession.
That is a fact right there. We were discussing this a little bit earlier on the Deron Bland front. Mm-hmm. Is that more serious than we think it is?
Well, it's going to be longer. He had a fractured fifth metatarsal that they did surgery on, remember?
Yes.
And they put a plate in there with screws. So just kind of let that sink in. And he was back running, practicing. And practicing fully too, by the way, and then woke up and his foot was sore. So I don't know if that's, general what might happen after you've been out that long and you had surgery and then you go and work it and then it gets a little sore. It's one thing to work it doing all the drills and rehab stuff, but it's another thing to go out there and actually play, right? He was out there on the cords last week and he seemed to be moving really well. Now it's a matter of depending on premeditated steps. Now you're playing football and you got to do different things and cut and, whatever, and run full speed and see how it turns out. So be interested to see if they get him back into practice this week. And, it's the same thing with Micah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been out this long and then, okay, I practice, but that doesn't mean you're ready to play. And you got to see how they react to it. So, I think Bland's close. I don't know about Micah.
Mickey,
see him rehabbing.
Mickey, when you talk about practicing, help me out here, because it feels like the Cowboys never, in a way, really practice. So you say he has to practice, but they're not really running like 20 snaps at full speed. So help me out when you say he needs to practice when most practices are kind of more of a walkthrough situation.
No, they're not. No, they're not a walkthrough. They're full speed, but you're just not tackling. And so, you know, Thursdays they put the pads on and you know, and it's football other than tackling. You know, you're out there, you're running through holes. You've got to cover receivers deep. You don't know what they're actually doing. So now a little bit of it when the scout team's out there, you know, you're running the other team's plays, but you're still covering, especially, and they have some compete periods where it's first against first too. But again, you're not tackling. So if that, you know, constitutes a walkthrough, then, you know, okay, that's fine. But I mean, they're really running, and so you got to be able to do that stuff on Wednesday and especially on Thursday when the pads come on. But yeah, they're not playing football.
It's better than I thought, to be honest.
Yes, yeah, there. I mean, it's not, you know, out there brother lawing, right? And that used to go on during training camp back in the 90s. It's like, you know, the offensive lineman lines up against the starting defensive tackle. How are you today? Well, yeah, let's take
okay.
it easy, right? They would do that stuff. I know they would. And so don't make me look bad, all right? And so, yeah, but no, they're practicing. They're just not tack. And it's league wide, Mike. That's the way.
Oh yeah,
true. Yeah, for sure. On,
right. There's no tackling because you can't afford to get somebody hurt in practice with a salary cap the way it is. And you know, I mean, that's what happened to, if I got it remember right, to Trayvon Diggs last year. You know, he was practicing.
Yeah.
And tore his ACL, and that's the last thing you want to do. And by the way, his brother tore his ACL, right?
Yes.
You think he went on his phone to try to see what happened to him?
I don't know. I heard Mike Leslie can rile some folks up.
Yeah. But he wouldn't have known that unless he was on his phone, right?
Sure.
And he probably went on his phone to check his brother and saw everybody tweeting him saying, hey, did you see what was said about you?
Yeah.
And, you know, because I've heard the criticism. What are you doing on your phone after you get your ass beat?
Ooh.
Well, maybe he was checking on his brother, tore his ACL.
Maybe.
It's a good question.
Yeah. And maybe you should ask him before you assume.
We thought we were going to get to interview him in training camp. We got to talk to Trayvon Diggs for like an extended amount of time last summer.
Yeah, it was like 22 minutes.
It was awesome. I would love the chance to talk with him again. Absolutely.
Yeah, mate, I talk to anybody anymore.
Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
Sure thing. See ya.